Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, titled, The Commandment to Restore and Rebuild Jerusalem. This is part 2 of 2.
Nehemiah is right before Esther, if you're familiar with Esther. Chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, we're actually told the account of how this commandment went down. Beginning verse 1 says, And it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Now you can be familiar with that. That's the first month. That's the month of Passover. The month of Passover doesn't always land on the same time on our calendar because our calendar is pagan. But it sometimes is in March and sometimes is in April. This year, Nisan 14 happened to coincide with what the Catholics call Good Friday. And so, this year and next year, one of the few years where Good Friday was actually the anniversary of the death of Jesus. But then, he wasn't raised on Sunday, Easter Sunday. He was actually raised after Sunset Monday. And so it would have been Tuesday morning this year, this past week, when the women would have gone to the tomb and found it empty yesterday morning. Isn't that neat? You see, the death, burial, and resurrection is an actual event. It really happened. What's kind of neat then is in 3 years, wait a minute, this year and next year's Good Friday will be the day of the crucifixion. And then the year after that, it'll be Wednesday, which is the day he really died. And so that year, it'll actually match up with Wednesday being the day he was crucified, and on Easter Sunday will be the actual day. You know, stopped watch is right once in a while, amen? So even Easter Sunday is going to get it right once in a while. Can't go into that too much. But anyway, that's what Nisan represents. Passover, death, burial, and resurrection all happened in that month. In the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. You see that? So now, we're going to read that this is when this commandment is given. And we'll come back to this. We have to figure out when Nisan in the 20th year of Artaxerxes is. See how that works? This is a serious Bible study here you're doing. This is the real deal. That wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Nehemiah was a happy guy, but he was sad today. Verse 2, Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? So evidently Nehemiah didn't have food poisoning like Brother Jim. He says, This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Verse 3, And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. See how you can pray, even while you're talking to people, you can pray. And right there he's praying, Oh Lord, help me. Help me. And I said unto the king, the Lord gave him the words to say here, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. He's talking about Jerusalem. Verse 6, And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So he's just asking for the details. He just wants to know what's up. So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Verse 7, Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. See, Nehemiah is a smart fella. You know, he knows better than to just go over there and try to do this. He knows there's a bunch of Palestinians over there and the UN peacekeepers. And so he wants to have the hard copy from the king. So verse 8 says, "And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertained to the house and for the wall." See that? This is where we go beyond building the temple. "The wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." There you go. This is Artaxerxes giving the command and sending the paperwork with Nehemiah to build, to restore and to build not just the temple, the city. And so that's when Daniel is told by Gabriel the angel, that's when the 70 weeks countdown begins. So we're given the date of Nisan, 20th year of Artaxerxes. So what's that mean in real time? How do we narrow that date down to a day? And I'm not going, you could go if you want to, you know, fly over to the Middle East and do your research and dig around and everything. Or there are some guys who've already done the hard work for us. And we'll take Alva J. McLean again. And he says, "For those who believe," and listen to this close, "for those who believe in biblical inspiration and the genuineness of predictive prophecy, it will be no surprise to learn that the date fixed by Nehemiah happens to be one of the best known dates in ancient history. There are other leaders, other kings and emperors that we don't know when they began their reign. We don't even know some of them when they died. We know this. God made sure that the historians and the archaeologists and everybody had this information. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica, certainly not biased in favor of prophecy, sets the date of Artaxerxes' accession, becoming king, as 465 BC. And therefore, his 20th year would be 445 BC. Now, you and I, you know, we need this information, but a lot of people reading Daniel would have known that. They lived in that day, or they lived a century or two afterwards, leading up to the fulfillment of the prophecy. So the month was Nisan, and since no day was given, according to Jewish custom, the date would be understood as the first day of the month. So, hence, in our calendar, the date would be March 14, 445 BC. Here we have the beginning of the 70 weeks. What's that mean? That means that if you want to sit down and do this on your own, you can do it. You can start counting using the Jewish calendar. Start from Nisan 1, 445 BC, or using the good old-fashioned pagan calendar we use, March 14th, 445 BC. And you can count down and know the very day Messiah appears to be crucified. That, though, for you and I is looking backwards. When this was written, this is 500 years before it happened. We're going to see, we don't have time to run all the references today, but you know, there was a time when Jesus looked at him and said, "If you had known the day of your visitation," you know why he said that? Because they should have known. He gave them the exact day he was going to show up riding in on a donkey. And they would say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Throw down the palms, he rides into town. Only to then have them turn right around, those same people yell, "Crucify him!" One of the most amazing prophecies. It's the most amazing prophecy human beings have ever known. The most amazing prophecy. Here's my little chart that we've had to tweak a couple times. I don't know why, little typos and things, but this is available online on our website, bbfohio.com. Go to resources, Bible charts. And it shows here, up in the corner, Artaxerxes' command. The command was to rebuild Jerusalem. It's found in Nehemiah 2, 1 through 8. You see that? It took place on Nisan 1, March 14, 445 B.C. And as I said, this isn't all new Greg Miller stuff. This is taken from, you can find it in Clarence Larkin's Dispensations. You can find it in The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson. You can find it in numerous places. And here it is. The command was given. First there was 7, and then 62. And at the 69th week, here's the birth of Christ, the 69th week was what we call the triumphal entry. How many of you heard of, they call it Palm Sunday? They always celebrate on the wrong year every year, wrong day every year. But they actually, then the churches will have the kids carrying the palms and all that. That's what they're trying to kind of reenact and all that. The Messiah enters Nisan 14. That's Passover. That's the day he's cut off. And so you see this leading right to the cross. And Jesus said they should have known. They should have, and they could have known. Now, let me tell you something. I'll say this before. We are not going to know the date of the rapture. But what we can do is see that as things start to take, the stage is being set, you see, how close are we to everybody being able to take a mark to buy, sell, or trade? How close are we to a one world government? How close are we to a one world religion? I think most Americans are clueless about the one world religion thing, especially. Because if you watch the CNN, is a special on the Pope they're running. And if you watch that, you'll see that it's not just a billion Catholics. Everywhere he goes, no matter what religion, they treat him like a god. The stage is set. So that's why when you hear me preach, I'm not trying to set dates, but I'm saying, although we came close one day, just that might have been, was that last week? Because we were just talking about how, you know, if you go in that Hosea prophecy and says after 2 days, then he's going to establish the kingdom with Israel. And a day is as 1,000 years. Jesus died in 32 A.D. You'd take it to 2032 A.D. And so the rapture is going to take place 7 years before that. And that's it. That's all. I'm not going to go any further than that. And I'm not trying to set a date, but I'm just saying there's reason to be excited. Now think about it. There's reason to be excited. There aren't very many people excited. There aren't very many people interested in this Bible study we're having tonight. I mean, everybody wants to have a nice little thing about them. A little thing about something for you. Something to make you feel good. Something about you, you, you. You, you, you. The days of being focused on Jesus and His return and the excitement of knowing He could come at any moment. You can still have it, but you've got to stop waiting for somebody else to stir your spirit. You've got to be in the Word as David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what we've got to do today. The gospel and Bible prophecy is based in the city of Jerusalem, Israel. Do you know that? This whole thing's about the holy city and the holy people, the Jews in Jerusalem. The God of this world would destroy Jerusalem and all Israel with the Jewish people if he could. You ought to wake up to the hatred of the Jews in the United States of America and Europe today. They hate the Jews. Outside of Bible Christianity, even among Christians, I'm talking about Protestant Christians, Catholic professing Christians, they hate the Jews. I'm dealing with it constantly. They come at me as, they'll call me a kike. I'm English. I did the DNA. I even know I'm not Jew. But because I stand up for Israel, they call me a dirty kike. I'll wear it proudly. Call me that all you want. I'm not going to bow to those guys like all over in Germany they did when Hitler took over. That's what's happened in America. This is also the reason why the world celebrates those who hate Israel and Jerusalem under Jewish control. Watch the news. Here's an example. This is Winnie Mandela. I'll explain why I put flames behind her in just a second. She died, and you would have thought it was, you know, some wonderful woman, some wonderful, loving woman who stood up for the poor, blah, blah, you know. This is a quote from Winnie. Apartheid Israel can be defeated just as apartheid in South Africa was defeated. Apartheid in South Africa was bad. But here's how she advocated winning against South Africa and the Jews now, before she died anyway. Quote, together, hand in hand with our matches and our necklaces, we shall liberate this country. She's talking about taking you white people, especially, but anybody, black, white, red, yellow, who stood against the African National Congress and taking a tire and dousing it with gasoline, putting it around your neck and lighting it on fire and burning you alive. That's what she's talking about. That's how she advocates winning, with matches and necklaces. And if you watch the news this past week, they glorified her like she was something wonderful. Because the world is given over to the God of this world. And He hates the Jews. And He hates Jerusalem. And He hates you too, because He hates Jesus. Satan's children are bloody murderers who hate God's people. And when given the chance, they prove it. They've proven it in this country by pushing for abortion on demand. You don't think they'd abort you if they have a chance? You're fooling yourself. Those same people who are pro-choice would have you thrown in prison, have you killed if they had the chance. There were people in Germany and people in Russia who said they never dreamed that the people who ended up turning them in and even trying to kill them would have done it. But then once they had the chance, they did it. But Jerusalem will stand. And it did in fulfillment of Daniel 9:25. So we begin counting at March 14, 445 BC. And it says, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Add that up, that's 69 weeks of sevens. Then the Messiah shows up. Doing the math, that's 483 years. 69 weeks of years, the Messiah showed up 483 years after the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the year he gave the commandment. Also, by the way, that was 173,880 days. If you want to go home and get your calendar out and add that up, you'll come up with the right date. And he did, exactly as it says. And the Messiah, the Prince, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And that's what's charted out, and we'll get into that more in our next study. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And when Jesus shows up, guess what? The whole city is rebuilt, ready for Him. Just like when He comes the second time, we talked about the stage being set. The stage was set for His first coming. And we will see what happens when the Messiah, the Prince, shows up next study. Any Q&A before we close shop? Charlie? Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Doug?
I don't fully understand the calendar differences. I know that Jewish is kind of shorter calendar.
Yeah, it really comes down to one big difference is, main, for the most part, the Jewish calendar is what we call lunar, 30-day month. Our calendar is solar, and so it's inexact. Some months are more longer than others, 365 and a quarter years. So then every fourth year you have to have a leap, And then after, I think, every 500 years, you have to deduct one. It's just, it's kind of a involved thing that I'm sure Charlie and Matt are going to go home and work on tonight. Huh? Yes. It's up your alley. Huh? Yeah. And personally, I believe in the millennium, it'll go back under that biblical. It's really a biblical calendar. And in Israel, they did the same thing we've done. In Israel, there's a secular version. And they don't start Nisan. They have a different... That's why you actually have two New Year days in Israel. One's a secular New Year, and the other's the religious New Year, which is Nisan 1. But yeah, that's the basic difference there, Doug. And it's a good thing to... You know, it's not absolutely necessary to go beyond that to understand the Scripture, but it's a good study. And to familiarize yourself with the feast is very important, but I want to say this again. The rapture is not tied to the feasts. Anytime you hear somebody say, oh, Feast of Tabernacles, we're going up in September or whatever, it's not. That's Israel. That's not the church. So, yeah. You, Jenny, you have a question?
Aaron asked, we cannot know the day and the hour. How about the year?
No. We won't know. We won't know. K-N-O-W, if I can spell it right. We won't. Now, you I'm not saying there's not going to be a bunch of people looking for him and excited because of what's going on, but they're not going to actually know that it's this year or this day or the hour. I just think it's got to be close. But you won't get me any that on it. Charlie, did you have your hand up again?
So the lunar calendar, how many years do they wait? Like they add
up,
they just have another month.
I have to look that up. I know.
Like they have a 300-day year versus our 365.
Yeah, they have their way of adjusting it, but I can't off the top of my head rattle that off. We have to look it up. There you go. Homework. You can share that with us next week, Charlie. All right, everybody stand if you would.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
Let's close the prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thankful for those who were able to pay attention. I know it's hard sometimes at the end of the evening on Wednesday, but those who were able to and did, and were able to let some of this sink in. Such a wonderful evidence. Just building up our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is just one amazing example of your fingerprints on history. And we just love you. Look forward to seeing you, being with you. Help us through the rest of this week. In the meantime, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you say, well, you don't know a person's heart. No, but I can hear what they're saying.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:37.
I had a lady approach me just this weekend. And immediately I could pick up on there's something wrong with this. She complimented the video. Remember the lady in the book of Acts that went in front of Paul and said, oh, here come the man with the message of salvation from the Lord.
Instead of Paul saying, hey, I want to hire you as my praise team leader. No, Paul looked and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and a demon came out of her.
The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Acts 16, verses 17 through 18.
She had a devil running around praising the men who were preaching the gospel. And this lady, I could just tell there's something wrong there.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14.
And I'll apologize for it. Because when I'm dealing with somebody who has got a devil, or at least in their words appear to, I'm going to deal with them the way I'm taught to.
These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Titus 2:15.
You see, what most people want you to do is not imitate Jesus. They want you to imitate them. And that's what I was getting from this lady. I said, listen, I wouldn't say this to everybody, don't get me wrong, but I just knew there was something wrong. And I said, lady, you are the reason our churches are dying. You are coming after the preacher as he is trying to deal with people. And you are not wanting that preacher to act like Jesus Christ. You are not wanting that preacher to act like the examples of the apostles. You're wanting the preacher to act like a politician. You're wanting your preacher to act like you think they should act and not the way the Lord thinks they should act.
Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10.
I said, it's people like you that are killing churches. Of course, the preacher bears the blame too, because he ought to stand his ground and tell her to take a hike.
After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3.
Came back a little bit later and thought, I'm going to do a little investigation on this. I won't go through the whole thing, but then I found out where this woman was coming from. She's a believer in universal salvation. She calls herself a Christian, but she believes everybody's already saved. Jesus died and paid for all sin, therefore everyone's saved. Therefore, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You can live like you want to. Doesn't even matter if you profess to be a Christian. You're saved.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
You better watch. I'm just telling you as an example, folks. When people don't want you to take a stand for morality, when people don't want you to stand against the murder of these unborn children, when people don't want you to stand against the sodomites, when people don't want you to stand for what's right, they have an agenda, and it's not God's book. It's not God's word. It's the spirit of the age.
Lucifer's invasion of the churches.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.